Hello, everyone. Today we will be reading Matthew 16 for our daily devotions. I invite you to open up your Bible or Bible app and follow along as I read the passage. Matthew 16. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test him, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, "When it is evening, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'It will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." So he left them and departed. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. This passage in Matthew 16 contains predominantly interactions Jesus has with people, whether it is with the Pharisees and Sadducees who oppose him or with his own disciples. There are no healings or miracles documented here. However, I would say that all the miracles and signs and wonders that Jesus displayed in the previous chapters all come to a head here in chapter 16. Let's focus on Jesus' interaction with his disciples in verse 13. When they all arrive at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asks his disciples a direct, yet sort of enigmatic question. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? What is Jesus asking his disciples here? To understand this, we have to dive into the title that Jesus gives himself, the Son of Man. In general, when used non-specifically in the Bible, this term is a description for humans. But in the Old Testament book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel describes a very vivid prophetic dream where he sees one like a son of man, who was given dominion and glory over all peoples and nations, a dominion and kingdom that is everlasting and eternal. This son of man is going to be a king, born of woman, who rules and reigns with God. Essentially, Jesus is asking his disciples who people are saying this promised king is, the person who will usher in the everlasting kingdom of God. And some of them throw out answers like John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, and other famous prophets, people who demonstrated the power of God and spoke the words of God. Of course, others will take their best guesses at this based on their understanding of the prophecies. But then Jesus directs the question directly to his own disciples, the people who are closest to him, who have listened to his teachings and witnessed what he has done so far. Who do you say that I am? At this point, I would imagine his disciples becoming sort of silent, maybe murmuring to themselves, kind of like when your family group leader or microchurch leader asks your small group a question and no one quite knows how to answer it. But in the middle of the silence, Simon Peter blurts out, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is the inflection point of the Gospel of Matthew. Up until this moment, Jesus had been performing signs and wonders and preaching and teaching, all with the purpose of showing that the kingdom of God is at hand. But at the same time, he had been very ambiguous and enigmatic in saying who he was. But here, by the revelation of God, Simon Peter proclaims that Jesus is the Christ, the promised anointed one who would usher in the kingdom of God. Essentially, he is saying that Jesus is that Son of Man enthroned and ruling with God in Daniel's vision. He is also professing that Jesus is the Son of God, one who has come directly from God himself. This is a monumental moment. Jesus is revealing to his disciples that he is the Savior and the Messiah. This revelation changes everything. Jesus did not claim to just be a good rabbi or teacher of the law, nor is he claiming to be just a prophet pointing people to God. He is the Son of God, the Christ, the one who will save God's people. And now, all of his disciples know for sure that they are following the Messiah. I'd like us to think about that question that Jesus asked his disciples. Who do you say that I am? Have you yourself ever stopped to think about who Jesus is to you? Some of you may be wrestling with this question. Perhaps you grew up around the church and Christianity, but Jesus has been taught to you, and you never experienced a lived-out relationship with him. It could even be your parents' faith that brought you to church, but your own experience differs from theirs. Who is Jesus to you? Do you believe him to be Lord and Savior over your life? Or is he just your parents' God, and you feel sort of removed from him? Others of you may not believe in Jesus at all, and are actively trying to figure this out for yourselves. Is he just a good moral teacher? Is he who he says he is, the Messiah and Son of God? If either of these groups describe where you're at, may I encourage you to continue working through your questions. Read through the Bible and examine who Jesus says he is. Spend time talking to other friends who may be Christian and ask them questions. And maybe even spend time asking or praying to Jesus himself to reveal himself to you. He is always listening, and you might be surprised at what he has to say. And others of you may come from a Christian background, and you can confidently answer as Peter answered. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ. And it is amazing that you can come to a place where this confession rings true in your heart and spirit. But my encouragement and challenge to you is this. How does that truth change your life? How will you live with him at the center of all that you do? Do you allow him to reign over your job situation, your finances, your relationships? I know I'm still working to trust Jesus with these areas of my life now. But if Jesus is indeed the Son of God, both you and I have a clear purpose, which is highlighted in verse 22. Deny ourselves and our own desires, take up our cross to follow God's will, and follow Jesus wherever it may take us. Now, answering that question for yourself may seem daunting, but I encourage each of us to spend some time today reflecting on it. And I invite us to not just answer the question with the quote-unquote right answer, but to really seek Jesus and ask him to reveal himself to us as he is. And so with that, let me pray. Jesus, we thank you for this passage. You revealed yourself to your disciples as the Son of God, the Anointed One, the promised King who would rule and reign forever. And it fundamentally changed everything about them, their callings, their outlook, their identities. Lord Jesus, I pray that for each of us listening today, that everything about our lives would change too. Let us come to the same conclusion that Peter came to by the grace and revelation of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for entering into our reality as the Son of Man and as the Son of God, revealing yourself to us so that we may have a living and eternal hope. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.